Okay, welcome to Has Been Airsoft. As usual, I'm your host, Megalo. Joining me this week is the usual crew, I'd say. To my left is the wonderful
Mr. Jungle. I'm here yet again.
You can't call yourself Mr. Jungle.
Why not?
I can.
You can, you will.
I really don't know why I do this anymore, but I'm here for at least one more episode. So.
He's here. He's queer. Get used to it.
Yep. And to his left.
How's it going, guys? This is Matt.
And to his left.
It's Demo. I also don't know why I'm here.
And it's Dave. We're trying to figure out why we're all here and why we're not doing 40 hours a week playing CSGO and getting paid for that instead.
Yeah. You're going to upset
because
some like hardcore CSGO pro.
Good. Let him.
I'd like someone to get
it. I want
to
beat him.
Take time out of their day of playing CSGO to listen to this.
To shitpost? Yeah.
I would respond that if someone does say 1v1 me on CSGO, I'll be like, 1v1 me in Airsoft, bro.
1v1 me?
1v1 me.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's do it in CSGO,
1v1 me.
Too.
1v1 me.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it
1v1 me. It's the Asian teams, you know? 1v1 me.
Team Fortress 2. Hat Simulator.
Fuck that.
Let's beat everybody.
No.
No.
Yep.
I mean, slightly off topic. You have to step up your PC game, and we have to play Fistfall Frags.
All right, fair.
That's a fun game.
All right, we'll do it. So, our first topic for tonight, we're going to go over, like, the issues and what we've liked about different goggles and different comm systems that we've had.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say issues, but it's just kind of like the evolution and availability of various goggles and communication systems over the course and just like where it's at nowadays, because
there is
definitely a wide swath of options for every price point and compared to what you're looking to use them for.
I mean, much more than there used to be.
Yeah, well, exactly that. You know, back in the day, you were very limited. Now it's kind of, if you're just looking to go out on the field and, you know, mess around, you have tons of options all the way up to like national events at affordable price points to like, hey, I have a shitload of disposable income. I want the best of the best, sir, with honors. Let's do this.
So I mean, yeah, the quality does show.
Can I take a guess? Goggles. What were the first goggles you went to like a full airsoft game with? Because I think I know what they're going to be. Because they're probably what I used and probably what Dave used.
No, they're not going to be.
No, they're absolutely not going to be.
When you say airsoft game, are you talking
like
about...
Like at a field, not backyard stuff. Backyard stuff, okay. We used, like, safety glasses.
Backyard stuff, we rarely actually use goggles.
Oh, we correct. No, saying. We got safety glasses, like, cool, like, sunglass ones given to us in a shop class that we always use.
Cool safety glasses ones?
No,
made
they
you
look
like
they
you had,
like
flames coming out of your shirt?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. That's what I figured.
Totally radical.
They were cool when you're, like, 15.
Yeah, rad.
So, I...
Too bad you'll never be rad.
That's right.
Damn it, I hate you. Sorry, I got another one.
But yeah, no, actually, from that standpoint, yeah, backyard games, there was little to no safety taken, other than the fact of don't climb on the roof, even though everybody always did climb
on
the roof.
No, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call those backyard games, because even though they weren't at a sanctioned field, they had structure to them.
Yeah, no touching of the hair
like
or face.
At your house, or like Ricky's house. Just,
I'm talking, oh, okay. I was
like,
say
when
Turbo's
you're
house.
At the building.
Yeah.
You know, that was, for the most part, as structured as we had till we went to, like, Ground Zero, you know, Quorum,
yeah.
Any of the other, you know.
So, like,
Rest in Peace Strat Plus?
Yeah, Strat Plus.
What did you guys use your first time at? I'm guessing Quorum was probably your first.
Yeah,
big,
so pretty
you know,
much
proper
the
game.
First set of goggles I used were exactly what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
But they were a set of hand-me-down Oakley snowboarding goggles.
Yep.
That had like the Master Chief lenses on them with the green frames.
Oh god.
So they were I was just straight styling on people.
Yeah.
But
straight stunting.
They right. were in no way ANSI
rated at all.
Yeah. But you know, when you have a stock Tokyo Marui, it doesn't really matter. So that's what
not
I
what I was expecting.
That's what I used till I got my first actual set of goggles. And then I think it was a pair of Bolles.
Okay,
yes, but we went over to Bolles after that. But I had something like that. I had like the JT goggles. Like
that's
nothing.
What I had. That's,
it was
that's what
that.
I assumed was the first.
Yeah, it was
or,
like JT ones that you just cut
the out paintball. Of the paintball mask. Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly what I used the first time I played.
Those are still circling around. Oh yeah, like when I worked at Strike Force, I saw like a couple of those, you know, still being used. I always thought to myself, yeah, why not just cut off the bottom pieces? A lot of kids kept it on.
There were those people were actually using just straight, not even shooting glasses, but like wood shop glasses.
Yeah. I mean that's what we used in backyard games.
Yeah. They were like that, and they threw a little foam around the edges back here, so there was, you know, oh, okay, cool, it's full seal.
Yeah.
But also, everybody was over 18, and everybody, you know, they didn't care.
Or 15.
Or 15, yeah. Or 14, but...
It floated.
Yeah, it worked.
It's a weighted average.
Yeah, mostly because of the fact that there were so little of us.
Right.
Nobody really cared.
Everyone there pretty much knew the rules and knew the risks.
Yeah. It was high personal responsibility airsoft.
Yes.
Something that does not exist anymore.
No, absolutely not. So,
thanks, but Bernie Sanders.
But from there, yeah.
Well, thanks for the beer, Bernie Sanders.
The Bolle X800s, which were like fucking Ferraris.
Well, those were like the first dual-pane goggles, right?
Goggle,
they?
Yeah. Yeah. Out there, with the exception of the Oakley... was it the Oakley M-Glass or whatever it was? The ones that you saw like in all the Navy SEAL pictures?
Oh, yeah.
They always looked so fucking cool, but when you put them on, they instantly fogged.
Yep.
I never really had fogging issues, so I'd probably get away with
those. With those, yeah, those were terrible. Like, the first run of them? Horrible. But the X800s, if you cut, like, two little slits in the rubber up on the top, two on the bottom, the ventilation was awesome. Because the glass actually or whatever the material was, actually sat off of the rubber, so it was glass, nice, gap, and then rubber, so you had all the ventilation. It was outstanding.
I did the arenas before those, because they when they were surplus, the arena flakjacks, they were like $30.
Well, before we get to those, Matt, what was your first?
Mine were the Bolles. They're actually still what I use.
No,
is
I
it
mean
the same pair.
There's really nothing.
Same exact pair that I started with. They survived this long. They're not even that scratched up.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing that really caused us to move away from them.
Yeah.
Is that at a certain point, you know, between just the in and out of, like, the kit bag, using them, whatever, the lenses got so scratched up.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, time to retire.
So
but they
I had another issue with them when I had them, which was if you took BB strikes to where the lens strap attached.
Oh, they would pop off.
Yeah, they'd break right off.
Oh, yeah. So, Chung, how many
times... Oh, yeah, I have a story about that.
How many times did you forget your Bolles up at the building? Because I know I left mine there so many times.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's easily around, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, that's... Because we would... There was a spot. We would, like, stage on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was up there. And then there was always... There was exposed brick. So it was, like, pieces were jutted out. So you just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me hang these up while I put everything else away. Just forgot them there.
I always would hang
mine. Were they there when you came back?
Yeah, every single time.
Wow.
That side room by where we used to put all of, like, the water and shit. Like, it was the exposed bricks there. I always be like, oh, let me hang this up because I'm going to, like, go into my gear bag in this little room. On the way out, I'll grab them before I go on the field. And then I was packing up for the day. I would never grab those. Because everything else would be like, oh, I'm packed. Let me just carry it to the car.
Ever. Yeah. It was terrible. Just forgot so much shit up there.
Right.
You gotta go back up there. Just take a nice little day trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got to do a game up there.
I don't think you ever will, because last time we went up there, there were a lot of no trespassing signs, like, everywhere. But last time we were...
We could go there just, like, hang out, take pictures kind
of
thing.
That's exactly it. A lot of... the one or two times we went after that, when the cops did show up, it was, hey, we don't really care what you guys are doing, just be safe. We're here more for, like... the ATV guys and the dirt bike guys, because they're the ones actually causing damage to these places. They're like, just fucking be safe. Don't fall in the lake and drown.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was a different time then.
This goes back up to, what's it,
2010, 2011?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, because you guys went on a Saturday, so I didn't get to tag along. Because I got the invite.
Was it Saturday? Because we went with the Tornado and all them.
Yeah.
So
that's one place I really wish to have seen or to have played at.
Hey, you guys are more than welcome.
I mean, playing there is probably out of the question at this point, but show you it.
At this point, it's pretty much just memories for you guys and some of my memory experience. Yeah,
big time. Great, great place.
So, well, we brought it up already, but I would say kind of the next evolution of goggles that kind of checked off all the boxes players were looking for, along with being super affordable because they were surplus, are the Arena Flakjacks.
Oh, big time.
Because I know at least 3 or 4 people at this table had a pair.
Still do.
Adam. A certain someone made my pair disappear.
What?
A certain someone made my pair disappear. Okay. That, the other AJ. You know, we'll discuss it later. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, because I think I was on like Airsoft forum or something when I was looking to like buy a new iPro, and I was like, let's look at the reviews and see what's out there.
That was like 2009, 2008, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's when I was getting back into it, and I was like, I need new iPro. And it was like some like typical like clickbait header, like best goggles under like $30. I was like, oh, fucking rock and roll. I'm a broke college kid.
Airsoft Atlanta had them. That's where I know I got mine from.
I forget what website I got mine from, because it was like literally the surplus website for these.
That's where I ordered mine. And, well, where Fat Hammer ordered mine, because he had ordered them also.
Right. And when I got them, I was like, oh, all right. And then once I popped out the two top vents, I was like, these things are money. Like, I did my first Pine Planes in those. I had those for like years till I finally went over to the shooting glasses.
Yeah.
Or turbo fans.
You had turbo fans for a bit.
See, I never felt the need for turbo fans. My problem with the Flakjacks was they're for very large heads.
Yeah, I mean, I got a big dome piece.
Yeah.
So I always had the issues that with them on, I could literally just do, you can't see this, but imagine like taking your fingers to the corner of your eyes. I had a big gap. I could just stick them in and touch the lenses with my fingers. And I was like, at the time, I was like, these aren't safe. Now I'm like, fuck it, just wear shooting glasses all the time.
At that point, would the straps could just cover that up?
No, because literally, like, with them on, you could just go, boop.
Yeah, I mean, the straps cover
Megalo's got a tiny head, so.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
So, like, say, in your head, a stray BB, if it hits, like, a specific part of
it would have to come in and, like, bounce and then come this way.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know some people took out the top vents. I actually found that the bottom vents, when you take those out of the Flakjacks, I got better ventilation out of that.
Okay. It depends on the goggles what's better to cut.
Yeah. Well, it also depends on the person.
Because from those, I went to the SG-1s, which I loved, which are like the shooting glasses, which almost no one at this table likes.
Which ones?
The SG-1s, the Wileys.
I had a pair of Wileys. I want to say they were like the CQB ones.
Okay, those are the full goggles. The SG-1s are like...
They were like the full goggles, but they were glasses.
Yeah.
And they had the full seal and everything. Yeah. They looked like Vulcan. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They look like sports goggles, essentially. Yeah. The stuff you put underneath helmets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really like the SG-1s. Most people complain they fog.
Yeah.
Well, it's different It's different for everyone. Like, the amount of goggles I've had, like, I've had a few, like, say, the Boogie Regulators, where people, like, swear by them. Oh,
I swear by those also.
Yeah.
Boogies were like, awesome for a bit.
I hated those things. Like they.
When we get to boogies, I'll tell you how to get them ready.
Hard to pass on boogie regulators.
Well, I mean, I don't have mine anymore. Yeah. They disappeared on me. I have no idea where they went.
Yeah, I mean, those were also, if they disappeared, they were $35.
Yeah.
They were affordable.
The ones I had were the $50 model.
Oh, you had
the tinted ones.
The Velcro kit on it already.
I bought one of those.
No, I don't think so. It had like, it was weird. It had like a multicam like elastic strap in the back.
Oh, those had the nicer.
I didn't pay $50, but I think someone like traded me for something. Maybe like a red dot sight.
No, the boogie regulators were like all the rage for a little bit.
I used them for a long time. Yeah,
they were low profile and they worked really well.
Well, that's what everyone wanted. They wanted a full seal, low profile goggle because everyone's tired of having these big goggles hanging off your face. Yeah. And I think that was kind of the linchpin that led to a lot of the shooting glasses with various kits that we're at now.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, even when the Boogie Regulars were first released, certain event producers were like, no, I don't consider these full seal. You know, especially when you had them on a helmet. They're like, look, you know, there's gaps by the, you know, corners of your eyes. And it's like,
yeah, because they were new and still touch and go when I went to...
I know, Lion Claws and...
No, when I went to Cove the first time, they were brand new then.
Right.
And, like, they went and they were like, I haven't seen those before. And they, like, had to, like, check them out.
Yeah, no, Lion Claws, I wore them at one event and they were like, eh, I don't know how I feel about these.
Mm-hmm.
And then Black Sheep as well was also like, ah, I don't know. You know, and I was like, I have a full, like, I had the turbo fans. I was like, these are my backup. So, like, if you're not comfortable, I'll rock these. So, but.
But actually, my favorite was seeing people wear, like, the boogies down, but keeping, you know, the extra goggles on their helmet.
Yeah, that was really common
and
for a while.
And it was like, really? Like, I get it. but come on. Like, yeah. That's just extra space and extra stuff that you don't need.
Yeah, I never kept my spare goggles on my helmet. I would always keep them in my map pack.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first cove, I tried to rock the boogies.
They fogged on you, though.
Yeah.
Because you didn't do the mod.
No, I did. I ripped the vent out and cut holes in them. Just they sit too close to my face and I sweat too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, after the first hour, I swapped them out for the turbo fans and was fine.
Yeah.
Because the trick with the boogies to get them to not fog as much, if you like are a fogger, is you cut a bunch of holes in the foam at the top, and then just one or two at the bottom to let sweat drain, but not let like your hot breath come up.
Yeah. We actually also found that when you remove the vent, if you take a drill bit that was
just too big,
you know, just kind of even them out and, you know, open them up a little bit, that definitely helped too. You could feel the airflow, which was good. And then mixed with the cutting out the vents, it wasn't as bad. But we also found that the, what wipes? It wasn't Wiley.
The revision wipes. I found are the
those
best.
Those were so good.
Yeah. Yeah, those are probably the best anti-fog wipes.
Yeah.
I picked up a couple of those. I bought out the last, like, 5 or 6 from Airsoft Outlet Northwest when they closed.
Yeah. I remember we used to buy them in cases.
They were, like, a penny a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Before we continue on, Dave, did you say what your first goggles were?
You did same as me, the JTs.
It was like the just generic paintball glasses, snowball, whatever
snowball
it was.
Glasses.
Yeah, snowball glasses.
All that stuff is me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my first goggles when I first started playing was a paintball mask. So, this is me going in. It was, I think, the same paintball mask that came with, like, a Tippmann 98. It came in, like, a kit. So, it was a Tippmann brand.
Invader.
No, not even. It was just like a generic full seal beginner's paintball mask. Mm-hmm. That thing served me well for like the year I played with it. Because it didn't see much use with paintball.
Die-I-4.
Never got into paintball.
Well, when I got into Airsoft, it was kind of like that age where save faces were getting popular.
Oh,
save faces and the revisions.
Save face.
Yeah.
I hated those.
So let's open up an account with save face. There's real popular.
So sidebar, Save Face was designed for fishermen so they didn't get hit in the face by a fish. That is the reason in which Save Face was invented.
That is the most retarded design for fucking fishing I've ever seen.
Yes, it's for the
people. Well,
then
they became a paintball company, but their lenses aren't anti-rated.
Similar to that,
which is a separate thing.
Yeah.
Really?
They are not anti-rated.
No, there was that. We'll talk about it offline because I'm not going to air that shit out on the podcast. But,
I mean, generally, it's only meant to just take a fish being thrown at your face. Generally, it was for like bass and stuff like that, where they're fucking hopping out of the water. It's to save your face, hence Save Face.
Yeah, okay. I guess the reason they got popular is because like Airsoft GI at the time,
well,
they were a big internet sensation. They were pushing.
Yeah,
those.
And like they kind of started that whole, I'm gonna call it cringy, but designs on a lot of their masks.
Yep.
That like all the 14-year-olds fucking ate up. So it's whatever.
And they had a lot of designs too.
Yeah, I mean the one nice thing about their lenses is that they were like dual pane and thermal, so like their lenses really didn't fog. But it just
They were not comfortable. Like I tried them on. They were not comfortable.
When I say we, Strikeforce at the time was thinking about making those our rental masks, but
they had them.
Yeah,
for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were rental masks.
I remember people clean those with the kill everything wipes.
Yeah.
Mainly because like the whole reason they were uncomfortable, like once they got old, because the only thing in between your face and the mask was like small strips of foam, and eventually that degrades.
Yeah, and it was like open cell foam, so it's,
oh, so it just the sweat went right into it, and
right into it, it would degrade really quickly. Yeah. Anyways, let's move into what we're currently rocking for iPro.
All right,
Back to the SG1s.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in the Wileys?
Because I can swap from the clear to the shaded.
Yeah.
Because I need the shaded on bright days, or I'll end up off the field.
Okay.
Pretty much. I actually, a couple of years ago, when it was like 2012 or 2013, a bunch of us bought the Oakley split jackets.
I miss mine.
Which were full seal because they came with a gasket kit, which was removable. So it was the start of the shooting glasses craze and the M frames and everything like that. So I picked up those. I've got, like 5 different types of lenses for it, going from clear to tinted to fucking like that reddish kind of tint where it just the cuts out the glare. Yeah, like a prism type of thing where it cuts out the glare, but it's still good enough. I run those, and I really haven't had any problems.
Honestly, I would switch to those.
Yeah, I love them.
Personally, those were my favorite.
Honestly, if you find a pair of M-frames with a gasket kit, I'll trade you straight up for them.
What's funny is I do have a pair of M-frames. I need a gasket kit for it. Because I had those. Doug bought the M-frames.
Yeah.
We traded because I needed the M-frames to fit under the ear probe.
We'll talk. All right. We'll work something out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm currently rocking the Oakley Gen 2 M-frames.
Okay.
And I have the Hilo kit for them.
Yeah.
Tinted lenses. I got a crazy good deal on that whole package from online. But, yeah, that's what I run. I mean,
it works.
If it's not needed, I don't run the Hilo kit.
Yeah.
But, you know, on fields that it does, I pop it in there, so.
Matt, you're still running the X800s, right?
Yeah, no, I have the Bolis. I keep going back to them.
Yeah, because you bought...
I got Pyramex V2Gs. They are by far the worst goggles I've ever used.
Is that what you rock at Balcar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They are the worst goggles I've ever even heard of.
And then you
ruined Balcar for me.
And then you tried using them again at... Like, you gave them another shot.
Yeah.
Because Balcar, everything fogged. I fogged at Balcar.
Well, I just assumed it was really bad.
Yeah, that's just the mix of it being humid and all the rain. And, like, that's a hard test for goggles.
But then I tried them again when we went to Zulu. And just like at Balcar, no joke, under a minute.
Wow.
Immediate full cover fog.
Good Lord.
So, sadly, at Balcar, I didn't have the Bolis directly on me, and I didn't go back to the car. I should have just went back and got them.
Yeah.
But those other ones, I'm probably going to burn them. I have 2 pairs, so I'm going to burn them both.
Okay.
And I picked up, they actually, from the same company, and if these aren't good, I'm never buying them from that company again. But they have dual-pane thermal, like basically dual-pane thermal.
I mean, if you hit those with the revision wipes, it shouldn't fog, just based on dual-pane and thermal lenses. But if they do, then yeah, like you said, that kind of speaks volumes to that company.
We're going
to
put up those goggles in the description, the ones that fog twice, as like a do not buy these.
Buy. Yeah.
Just so no one gets confused.
Buyer beware.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's your has-been airsoft top tip. Don't buy whatever the fuck those are.
Oh my god, has-been really buyer beware.
I mean, we're going to have so many of those.
We're pretty much CNET now,
Oh right. God.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Are we the new Linus Tech Tips?
Yeah.
Stop.
Why not?
We're the new LTT.
Stop.
Jesus. Stop that.
What about 899 is shit.
Demo, what
what do you run?
What's your...
I don't know the model of them. I guess generic ESS goggles. They were given to me by our good friend Cole.
They're probably like the old school NV. Are they the thick ones or are they thin?
They're fairly thick. They're probably the
ones that were the turbo fans without the fan. Like the NVG profile.
Because they look
NVG
similar.
Ones are thin.
Okay. They're low
so
profile.
They're the lens.
Okay. And
those are good goggles.
Yeah. Hands down, like I haven't used too many goggles. Like I've used a lot of low end stuff, like and some high end, like the Boogies, like I mentioned before. These are the best goggles I've ever put on. Like in humid weather, they did not fog.
No, I mean
they got
I sweat a lot
to
too.
I just love the turbo fans, which are the same ones. They just have the fan and all that. And once I took out the foam covering the vents
these
on
don't
the top,
have, these had foam, but they're
I ripped
out.
That out, and a lot of the times I wouldn't even have to run the fan. And like the ESS goggles as a whole are phenomenal.
Yeah,
for
the
what
whole
they,
system, like they're
yeah,
they're premium.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they look like simple too. You wouldn't think much of them, like
right.
Like,
you're like it's literally just like you know a goggle contoured like the shape of a human face.
Yeah, between them and like a clone, like say airsoft, like. For example, like if Vulcan replicated them, they would never like come near to like
it. Just got that ESS special sauce, like it's,
essentially that's what it is. Like I mean, they fogged a little bit in that humid. Okay, go ahead. There we go.
Nice.
They fogged you for Brexit 1776.
I mean, they fogged a little bit, but they always fog along the outside, so I still have like a clear line of sight through the center of the goggle.
If I'm not running the fan along the top, but that's about it.
Yeah, if I'm wearing a hat, I'll get like a little bit of fog where like it shades it because the sun doesn't like cook it away.
Yeah, and even wearing with a mitch too, where you know as heat rises, like the air just kind of traps.
Well, that's what it is. It's, yeah. Anytime I'm wearing
and
a helmet, or
there's just a little bit of a gap between my mitch and the goggles, and it just kind of ventilates out there.
Yeah.
So like ESS, I got to hand it to them. Amazing.
I got a little bit of a goggle confession to make.
Go on.
I had the gasket kit for the M-frames. I took them out every fucking time I used them.
So did everybody else.
I know. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Were you one of those kids that drew in Sharpie the goggle kit on your lenses?
No. Literally, it was I would walk out onto the field.
Is that a thing?
It was a kid.
That was literally a thing. That they would line up the Hilo kit in Sharpie and then just trace it. So that way, if some ref looked at them quickly, they would see the black outline on the lenses and think, oh, he's got a Hilo kit. He's good.
Yep. Until they get too close.
Yeah. So that happened more than once where people are like, what are you doing? And they're like, my Hilo kit fell out. They're like, so why are your lenses black in the outline of a kit? I'll be right back.
Honestly, that would distract me more than like having a Hilo kit in.
I remember that. Yeah. Those were good times. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Those were hard times.
Sovereign Fury. The Hilo kit came out.
It was the best of times. It was the
immediately.
Worst of times.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, let's. I think we've sufficiently beat
the
eye
goggles,
protection to the ground. Let's pivot over to
radios.
Good Lord. That's
Jesus.
Loud.
I
got
to quiet
Why are you
that
hollering?
Down.
Yeah. We in a restaurant.
We in a restaurant.
Look, and what a bitch.
So. I mean, Comgear has also come a long way.
Yes, it has.
Oh, big time.
In Airsoft. Like, I mean, when it started, it was the typical go to Sports Authority, Dick's, Walmart, get your two-pack of, you know, talk about, you know, Midlands,
yep.
Cobras, you know, GMRS radios, and just go from there. And then when you got to the field, you would pick the channel that you didn't hear people talking on. And that was yours for the day.
Yeah. How many four packs do you think we've split over the years?
I would say between me, you, and
like Ricky or McNulty or whatever.
Yeah, I would say it's probably about four or five
four packs.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, me and Fat Hammer, we just split the one talk about two pack, and then I went up to like the real combo stuff, and I turned into a combo geek, which was almost right away.
Yeah. Yeah, we never really could be bothered with that because it was all like a team. So it's like, me and Dave will split a four pack. I'll keep one on my kit, keep one in my bag. Whoever doesn't need it, you toss at him. And it's like, that four pack was like $30. So
yep.
I'm not expecting to get that radio back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
The Costco four packs, which were cheaper.
Right. And then it wasn't really until we started going to national events that were like, let's step up our comm game because there was never really a need for it.
Yeah.
And that's when we found the Wooksons.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we had an argument about the pronunciation. Because they pronounce it, the people who make it, Wuxing.
Okay.
Right,
what
they're
country
in,
they're in?
They're
in
know,
China or some shit.
Mainland
okay.
China.
Yeah.
We're in America.
Mainland.
America.
Mainland, sorry, America. I thought this was America.
We're not on the mainland.
We are the mainland.
We're not on the mainland.
We are the mainland.
I mean,
still
we are back-to-back World War champions.
That's
so.
True. Yeah. So any which way, we pronounce it Wuxon.
Yeah.
W-O-U-X-O-N.
Wuxon.
They are just, they're solid radios.
I thought it was Wuxon.
Go to back to China, bitch.
Taiwan,
yeah, they were,
one.
I mean, granted, we bought those. They were kind of probably overkill for what we needed.
They were
we,
pricey at the time.
They were pricey and...
$110.
Yeah.
We just kind of listened to someone we probably shouldn't have without doing enough research.
Well, no, at the time those came out, for what you got, they were not overpriced. Because the Baofengs were not out yet.
Yes, they were.
When we bought...
Pine Plains 4, 100% they were.
Baofengs were not out then.
I promise you they were.
Baofengs were not. Before I bought my Wuxing, I researched like a motherfucker. Because at the time when those first came out, it was like 09, 2010, when people were first buying those.
Wuxons or Baofengs?
Wuxons.
Okay.
The your only other option were the Kenwoods, like a real Kenwood, which is like $500 or $600.
Yeah. Or an ICOM.
Oh, the ICOMs, which were, what, 200 plus?
The ICOM that I had for the team radio was about $175.
Yeah.
And no one should ever spend that much on a radio because it's dumb as fuck.
Yep. None of that. You're stuck with the crappy ICOM connector that no one makes connectors for.
There is also that.
It's not a Kenwood 2-pin.
Yeah, exactly.
It's become so fucking standard
because
now.
Because of, like, that's a lot of the higher-end commercial stuff jumped over to Kenwood 2-pin right away.
Yeah.
And then when
the
clones came out, like the Wuxongs, Woshings, they were Kenwood 2-pin. And then when the clone of that came out, the Baofeng, those were Kenwood 2-pin. So they became the industry standard by default.
And honestly, I think, what, Amazon has the Baofengs, like the UR2+.
Yeah, so that's
plus.
Ultimately what we all migrated to is the...
Yeah.
And I would honestly say it's probably, especially at the national scene, the most popular radio is the Baofeng UV5R.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's $30 on Amazon.
Yeah.
All in with an extended battery and an upgraded antenna. You're still under, like, $55 shipped to your door.
Yeah, on prom.
And it... It,
they're ubiquitous.
Yeah,
they're so ubiquitous that during the briefing for Baikonur, they literally talk through one of the things, like if you capture, you know, a Russian, do this on his radio and dump all of his frequencies after you look at what he was on.
Right.
To literally just, because you can just have it reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I actually tested that when we were down at Iron Horse 2. The distance I was getting from the extended antenna. Okay, so you remember where we did our...
The Frago?
The Frago, out by the bunkers and everything.
Yeah, I figured, because that was far.
They were out there on the second day at the bunkers. I was out on the road outside of the grounds.
Oh, wow.
Like, the highway road, and I was hearing them clearly. I was able to pick up Jesus and... Who else was on there? And I heard Richie Moffat.
Okay.
And I was well over a mile away.
When Matt first got his Baofeng, remember we tested him with you driving over?
Yeah.
And you would click it on? I started getting, like, little pips from him when he was way down Sunrise. And we got, like, I could hear and, like, listen. But we had some transmit troubles, like, when he got to, like, my exit. Like, that's when we could have a conversation. So, like, think about how far, like, that is.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty far.
Especially with all the interference. You got houses, trees, everything.
Right.
That was a long time ago.
I mean,
Mm-hmm.
Now the technology's probably gotten better.
Yeah.
Frequencies, now that we've actually figured out what frequencies work really well and are not, you know, standardized amongst everybody else.
You know, we fly below the radar with our frequency technically because we run pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
In general, though, for the people who don't know, radio is either broadcast in UHF, which is ultra high frequency.
Or VHF.
Which is very high frequency.
Yeah.
So UHF has better... Am I going to mess this up?
UHF has, I believe, better signal integrity. VHF, I think, technically goes over a farther range.
Yes.
Yeah.
So UHF is better for going through that wall.
Yeah.
VHF is better for going out.
I think.
Yeah.
We could be reversing that. But.
No, because that's why, like cordless stuff is 2.4 gigahertz, because that's even better for going through, like, walls in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
well, yeah, because it's a lower frequency band, so it penetrates farther.
Yeah, but higher frequency band penetrates farther.
Penetrates. Yeah.
Low frequency bounces, high frequency penetrates.
Okay.
That's the rule of thumb.
But, I mean, we've also kind of figured out, again, what frequencies work best for us. And, again, you said we stay kind of under the radar. We stay in the lower numbers.
Yeah.
We're not like, oh, get on frequency, you know, 99540.105.
Well, that'd be way high.
Yeah.
But, like, the reason why we're down that low is you're outside of the range of...
Rain Man over there.
Like, the GMRS frequencies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the FRS frequencies.
Right.
And you're outside of the range where, like... Because, to be honest, I think I'm the only one here who has the radio license.
To anybody that's listening, we all have radio licensing, and I don't know what he's talking about.
We have all passed the FCC radio ham license courses.
But, so, you know, in case there's anyone listening in, I don't want to have to deal with, like... pulling out on my phone where I keep the FCC license, you know, you're outside of the range of business use. Because yes. business use, they're generally going to use it in GMRS anyway because they don't care.
Pretty much. Which is all stuff that you're going to find on your Motorola talkabouts.
Yeah.
And the Cobras and the, you know, the Inlands and whatever right. else you're going to find from, unfortunately, not Sports Authority anymore, but any of those Dick's Sporting Goods and
yeah, Costco, all those.
All the ones that are, like, meant for hunting, for, like, you, your weird uncle, you know, 500
well, just
feet
the typical
away.
10, what is it, 10 to 15 GMRS presets?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're just static frequencies that are known. These are the GMRS ones, and they're pre-programmed in the radios, and you just click to whatever one you want.
Pretty yeah. much.
So, what radios is everyone using? I'm assuming everyone
has... We're all on the Baofengs.
Yeah. For yeah. Baofeng, the UV5R, for the price to performance, it is the king. There is no reason not to run that radio, because it does everything you need it to do at a price that is affordable for damn near everyone. So, it's... Like, even if you don't get the upgraded battery or the upgraded antenna... For $30, you know,
yeah,
that's
a solid radio.
That's
yeah.
a solid radio, and that's about the price of what, like, a two-pack is for those shitty talkabouts. So you might as well get a high-quality, dual-band, dual-listen, dual-transmit radio.
Yeah.
Take the time to learn how to use it, and then you have a good product that will take you pretty much through your entire airsoft career. Plus, it's cheap enough that if something happens to it, it's kind of disposable at that point.
Yeah, just
you know?
Replace it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that and also I think Amazon has the programming cable, which is $10.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton of free, really simple to use programming
yeah.
software. I mean,
like
you
Chirp,
were able to use.
You
know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. you pretty much like told me over Google Hangouts in 3 minutes how to pretty much reset and put all the frequencies onto my radio.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, if you can figure it out in sub 10 minutes, you know, the general masses, you know,
yeah.
that's great for them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, going back to the question just, I asked, I'm like the only one who's not using the Baofeng at the moment.
What are you using?
The TRI.
Oh, that's
replica.
Right. Which is a Baofeng in another shell.
Essentially, yeah.
It's
much.
A Baofeng in a PR, what is it, 152 shell?
Yeah.
If you're willing to split the case on that, I can tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. The only problem I have with like that, it's a super expensive radio, but like at that point I had disposable income. I just wanted something that looked legit, and yeah. it does. It's a very nice radio. It has that like second delay when you know someone tries to reach you. Like
you
I
can
only hear.
That out.
Yeah, I can only hear part of. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can. I just haven't taken the time to do it. Like when I was at the game with you guys, mm-hmm. I pretty much hear the end of your 1 to 2 word. Transmits.
Okay.
So that was the only issue I was having. But other than that, like that's the one I use. It's the one I've been using.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It looks nice.
I still have the Wosheng because I have the Nakir Quiet Pro. So I've
yes.
got dual downleads on that. And when right. I eventually get the right adapters and make it all work,
yeah.
I'll have two radios I can run with that.
Because I still have my Wuxon also. That's
Do you want to trade for a you take the Baofeng and a little bit of money, and I take your other Wosheng?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Because I'd rather have two radios that are the same
the
than
same.
Have to do with
yeah.
different kinds of batteries.
Right.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely...
Okay, yeah, we'll do that.
Because it's pretty sure it's sitting under my bed just chilling.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I picked up the Baofeng, it was fucking curtains.
By the way, to any of our viewers, if you can find me a Kenwood 2-pin to mil 10-pin adapter... Sorry, no, mil 5-pin...
I believe so, yeah.
Five pin adapter.
It's either 5 or 6 pin. There's
yeah.
not really a 10 pin.
I think
pin.
It's a 6 is what I need, because I think that's what's on my headset. If you can find those adapters in stock somewhere, let me know, and I will, after I buy them, send you a case of beer.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah,
so actually, you had mentioned you got the Nacro, the Quiet Pro.
Yeah.
What other what's headsets is everyone running? Or have they in the past?
What haven't I run?
I don't know. What haven't you run? You
no,
tell the listeners.
So I had the knockoff Bowman.
Yeah. I think
a real Bowman.
I think everybody
that was
had...
a rite of passage. The EB Airsoft Bowman
yep.
knockoff.
Yep.
Everybody had that one.
Yeah. I had a real Bowman.
Oh, you fancy, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
I scored it cheap on Arnie's like years ago. I sold that off. I had the knockoff Comtac 2s. Real Comtac 1s. Real Comtac 2s. Real sword and headband, and then I still have my sword in the neckband style that comes around the back, because they're a little bit more comfortable to wear for, like, 30 hours.
Right.
Because, like, you know, I have sensitive ears, so when we go to a lot of these games where people are running bangers and blank fires indoors, right. I need to protect my ears, or, like, it's not a fun time for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, I mean...
And now I've got the Quiet Pros.
Yeah, you got the Mac Pros.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're outstanding. So, for a while, I think, as everyone said, the knockoff Bowman, I had that. I had the knockoff Peltors, the Contact 2s, which actually worked really well. I wound up actually switching to that and using those at the range.
Yeah.
Because they did the same thing, and they were $80.
Yeah, they were great.
So, from there, I actually bought one of the... one of the DevGrew throat mics, like one of like the $200 ones.
I always wanted one.
Oh my god, it's probably the best one I've ever had. It's not like the shitty Radio Shack one that you got that like you couldn't hear anything. I could literally whisper into this thing, and it came out as I'm sitting right next to you. It's so clear, very good. Actually, I think I tore one of the wires on it, so I think I probably have to either figure that out or just chuck it. Yeah,
I'll
one
fix.
Of the sorts.
Yeah.
And then from there, I picked up the $6 like lapel mic that from Amazon.
Yeah, I got a couple of those. Like,
they're really good.
Just great to throw in your kit because sometimes shit gets sweaty and nasty and annoying to use. And you literally can have like a perfectly clean sealed bag for like $2 or $3 on Amazon. Now.
Yeah, that's why I bought a handful of them. And literally put one on every chest rig and vest I have.
Yeah.
So all I need to do is plug in my radio
and
go.
Then, you know the hot tip with those, right?
Which one?
What I switched over to halfway through Sovereign Fury.
No.
The voice coil for it.
Yeah.
That fits right into...
The Surefire ear plug.
The Surefire.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
I
did that on my
those.
On the throat
yeah.
mic. It was great, but the problem is you cannot find the Surefires anywhere anymore.
Really?
I've called every friend that we have at every gun store on Long Island, and they're like, yeah, we have no idea. Surefire is not answering. I'm not paying $28 for one pair when they were $11 retail.
They're worth $28, though.
Not if I'm going to take them apart.
It's just the red thing that pulls right out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
But no, that's a hot tip because they're really comfortable.
Yeah. It definitely helps so it's not that weird, you know, plunger just sitting in your ear that's, you know,
that
after a while sucks.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Surefire Sonic Defenders.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the EP3s were the best ones to use.
Depends on your ear shape. Because it was just different ear shape.
Well, no. They were all the same ear shape, but they had different ear protection.
Oh,
some
okay.
of them were foam tips. Some of them were like the either the dual plunger, the tri-plunger, like all different levels of hearing protection.
Okay.
So I think the EP3s were the ones that was double flange. So it was like it sat in there, it stayed there, and it was still comfortable. So, but those worked really, really well.
Yeah, I still have a pair. I use them when I do, like, long rides on the bike.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Jungle. What was,
So, I have, like, three different setups I run. I have the, you know, behind-the-ear coil and lapel mic. I have the straight-up speaker mic, I think from Code Red. And then... Depending on where I'm going, I have the Howard Light Ear Pro that I can hook a 3mm aux cable or 3.5mm aux cable into my speaker mic right into the Howard Light. So that way any transmissions that come over aren't broadcasting everywhere. They go into my headset and I can still transmit on that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So pending on, you know, what I'm doing, what the game is, I run some mix and mash of that.
Okay.
So nothing overly fancy. I mean, you know, the speaker mic was like 40, the Howard lights were another like 40, and the lapel mic is like that $10 jammy that they have. So for what amounts to under $100, they have three different setups.
Matt, are you running any headset?
I just use the little clear.
That's the lapel one.
Yeah.
That's like the common now. That's become the new Bowman.
I had the knockoff Bowman back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't really been running commons very much lately.
It's
more
like
a
force of habit for me.
Games where you need to be on the radio with people. Like if I'm just going to an open play, I'm not bringing out a radio and a headset.
It threw me off with Balkar because most of us has the rule with
that. Yeah, that's a whole other.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic. Because I felt naked at Balkar without a radio.
Well, and just the the last minuteness of the leaders now get their run radios, but it's whatever.
True. Yeah.
Anyway, Dima, what are
what are you using to like? What's I'm assuming you have some Gucci shit to go with your Gucci ass fucking radio.
Nope.
Do you use no headset?
No, just a hand mic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's same brand, TRI. Looks like the what's the brand
name? Is that the set phone looking one?
No.
No.
Can we get the phones?
Yeah, you can still get them.
You absolutely can. TRI makes
do that.
I've always wanted to do like the Comtech style things. It just costs too much, and like the quality of the product you're getting as far as clones go are not what they used to be.
Does your hand mic have the 3mm jack?
Or? Yeah, it does. So sometimes I'll use.
So if you get the Howard lights, you can do exactly what I do.
Yeah, it's what I do sometimes. Except like the Howard lights always break on me. Like whenever I go through a game, they would break. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess maybe because at some point, like if whenever like I'm messing with my rifle, like it would tug on the wire because I keep the mic up front, so that way I use my left hand, take it off the gun or whatever, press it, and I speak.
Yeah, because I do the same thing, just opposite with the PFT.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've always used that. Same thing when I've had the Baofeng. I had a hand mic, and then I used the small headset. Other than that, nothing's really changed. I've never had anything too fancy. Other than, you know, the TRI radio, that's really it. Right. I mean, I've always wanted stuff like that. I just never got around to, like, buying them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you have anything we haven't gone over, Dave? We covered all your shit.
That's pretty much it that I can think of for a coherent topic. And I think we wanted to maybe dive into a little bit of the hatred that's we're stewing in somebody's corner.
We're introducing something real new.
Yeah.
Some of you guys may like, some of you guys may not. Let us know.
You guys are probably all going to hate it.
And this is called Demo's Hate Corner. So before Demo launches into this, this is an extremely high sodium warning. If you have high blood pressure, please consult your doctor before consuming this portion of the podcast. You need to check to make sure you're not going to die. All right, Demo, you're clear to go.
If you have hate in your heart, let it out. This is Demo's Hate Corner. I hate r/airsoft.
Hear, hear, brother. Hear, hear. Praise Jesus.
I stay off the internet for this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, r/airsoft. I mean, the idea of it is fine. I mean, people go there just to post, you know, what they have, what, you know, games they've played in airsoft. But it doesn't, I mean, it comes across as exactly that at its simplest form. Because airsoft now is pretty much, you know, whenever someone buys, you know, their first airsoft gun, they're just going to want to show it off to the world.
Even if it's not something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Before Demo fully gets into his rant,
yeah,
I just want to say something about r/airsoft.
Oh, no. Let me get a beer.
Yeah, I think there is a place for r/airsoft in the world.
Okay.
However,
hold on, I'm going to point to it. Now, the audience at home can't see this, but I'm pointing to a garbage pail.
No, which is where his beer and tea needs to belong.
I think I have never seen a place that celebrates mediocrity more than r/airsoft.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, it is just a bunch of scrub meme lords that are like, look at how fucking unique I can be on this subreddit. Aren't I so fucking cool? No, you're a fucking retard. Grow up. Like, I understand we're all playing with BB guns, but like, just the ridiculous shit that gets upvoted to the heavens drives me up a wall.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really wanted to bring up was,
I'll let you, before you get into this,
I'm sorry, the cancer is spreading. Yeah,
it's spreading. Yeah. So, actually, my question, though, that I want to just throw out there before you really get super angry, which would you rather be stuck in for a weekend? r/airsoft or weekend gun it?
Weekend gun it.
Weekend gun it. Are you kidding me?
Because
here's the thing. Weekend gun it. Those dag memes melt steel beams. Just like
9/11. Here's the thing. Weekend gun it is self-aware.
Explain that. Yes, they are. People that don't sit in the Matrix.
So, what self-aware means is that it understands it is a parody of itself.
I understand what self-aware means. I saw Terminator 2. I know how that happens. I'm talking about like people that are not so attached into the Matrix that all they do is internet when they go home.
Like Skynet is real.
Yeah.
Skynet is real. You worked for them.
But no, like, what self-aware means is that, like, it's aware that it itself is a parody.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, r/airsoft believes it's serious when it is, like, the worst thing in the world. Well, not the worst thing in the world, but it's fucking cancer.
All right.
Yeah. My biggest problem with r/airsoft, it definitely cater, like...
To the lowest common denominator?
Yeah. Lowest common denominator. Because every once in a while, you'll see something really cool on there. Like, someone will post, like, a gun, like, never seen before. Come, like, straight from Japan. Like, just kind of give, like, an example. I mean, it might not be real. Like, say someone has a Marushin gas shell-jacking shotgun.
Those exist.
They exist.
Yes, they do.
Like, check this out. I've had this for a long time. I thought you guys think it was cool. Gets, like, maybe 5 upvotes. Someone posts, like, oh, this is my new Crytac. I'm going to customize it a little bit. Puts a fucking cheap-ass suppressor and an NC Star red dot on it. Gets 1,000 upvotes. I mean, not that crazy, but still. I mean, that's typically what I see. It's just a lot of people
so
just...
So what I find on...
What? What's up?
No, I smell like burning, but...
No, that's a stroke.
Well, I'm dying because of r/airsoft.
All right.
When's the funeral?
No, what Demo is saying kind of rings true, because anytime someone from, like, r/milsim posts their loadout, they get called a bunch of try-hard faggots and downvoted to oblivion. But when someone's like, oh, hey, look at my, you know, like... Titanfall kit that I, or like CSGO painted gun, it gets uploaded to high hell, and it's like, this and is it, literally what it's come down to in the subreddit.
Oh, I smell that too.
Yeah, like, yeah. Thank you. Okay. It's not just me having a stroke.
Okay. No, we'll have a stroke. You still have a stroke. I just smell it. But yeah, I that's the thing that kind of annoys me, is because r/airsoft is kind of like a safe space for people who want to post their kits and not get criticized for it. r/milsim is kind of like the opposite of that. I mean,
can you stop hitting the table? Like, good lord, dude.
I mean, there are, like, groups that, you know, do it better than r/milsim. Like, if your kit, you know, could use some work, they're not afraid to tell you. r/airsoft does not. Like, comments who criticize people's kits or guns get downvoted or deleted.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, not to,
except,
like...
Except in one aspect. So, a couple years ago, me and Matt rolled out to try and play a game at Riverhead in, like, a little bit of snow, and, like, nobody showed up. So we hung out, took pictures of our kit and guns, like, hung out for a bit. So I posted some of the pictures, and I didn't really have, like, all that nice of a kit. It was, like, AC pants, the Air Force version of the Army cat pee top, you know, the fireproof one that smells like cat pee.
Okay.
The LBT slick, and then, like, a Pantax 6094 and a real,
Why would you wear a slick over a 1694?
Not 1694, 1961. Okay. So it was the slick with the 1961 over it?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to do, like, the AFSOC kit. And, like, and I was like, all right, you know, like, I was into Reddit and trying to, like, post stuff on there at the time. And so I posted up on r/airsoft, and I get a bunch of upvotes, and it's, like, fairly towards the top, but, like, every comment is like, wow, you must have so much money to throw away to afford all this stuff. You know, you could have just bought clones and saved so much money.
Well, that's what it is. They're like, why would you, you know, buy a real JPC when you can buy a DEFCON JPC for $40?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a majority of the airsoft community as a whole, except r/airsoft.
Right, except kind
of r/airsoft
takes all that
it
cancer
an echo chamber for
and
it
metastasizes it into one large lump of just death.
Yeah, I mean, they really favor the clone on that website. I mean, which is a topic in of itself.
It's because there are a bunch of 14-year-olds that are broke as fuck. Like,
exactly.
Get good, scrubs.
That's the feeling I get.
Like, they're the type of people who would recommend, like, the $20 cheaper JG-M4 over the G&G combat machine. So, it's... It's a mixed bag in r/airsoft, but they're mostly...
Crytac is, like, the pinnacle of what you strive for in airsoft. That kind of encapsulates...
Yeah.
Exactly what r/airsoft is.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that annoys me the most, you don't see it a whole lot. I mean, the people who encourage, like, you know, when someone, you know, throws out... I mean, since I'm an impressionist, like, accuracy is beautiful.
You do not belong on that subreddit.
No, not at all.
I was about to show this picture to you all. of someone doing, I forget, he called it like a marine infantry kit. Now take a look at this.
Like 12-year-old kid that just had woodland MARP hat on? And
yep.
Like,
essentially, yeah.
Did I see,
I actually thought there was Timberlands.
Yeah, I mean, a basic marine infantry kit consists of...
I remember this.
Yeah, I remember that.
MARP hat, SPC, Coyote Brown, you know, Mitch with a MARP hat covered, depending on...
literally everything is wrong. Yep. You should feel bad. Just go ahead and hero yourself.
Your kit is bad and you should feel bad.
Yep. Just because you're wearing the camo does not make it a blank kit.
No, but that's what r/airsoft thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to r/airsoft credit, there were a few people who did call him out. He's like, hey, man, this is not really that accurate. But, you know, people will defend these, like, the kids who post to the end. It's like, hey, man,
like,
give him a
chance. He's posting what he got. He's posting what he got.
He's just trying his hardest, man. Not everyone can afford.
I need to pull it off and make...
Yeah. I tasked you with doing some research before.
I saw one that really caught my eye, and I'd like to touch back.
It was the CSGO off skin, right?
Oh, yeah. Was it the CSGO off one?
That one really did. It didn't rustle the jimmies very much.
CSGO lottery.
The one that really did was something along the lines of... The kid was like, this started off as an M4, but I don't really know what it is now. You know what it is. It's an M4 with the front sight taken off.
I like where that kid's
and a barrel too long for the outer barrel. That's what it is. Everything else.
Well, Jungle, sounds like a gun you'd use.
Sounds like a gun he has used.
I mean,
it's
weird. Never had the inner barrel past the outer barrel. Exposed.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's done, you know, you hide it with the flash hider or suppressor.
Okay. Right.
Just looking at r/airsoft right now.
Hold on. Because he's got it up.
He took time out of his day to post this. You might have to zoom out.
Why is that?
First question.
Did we call that a red rocket, Jungle?
That warranted a post. Now I could go into my tech.
Jesus Christ!
Closet. I could pull out a whole bunch of partially put together guns.
Oh, no. Now I have to see this.
Yeah, I gotta see this.
I could post those.
He has to be asking. No, this is wrong. This has to be asking for help, right? Like, how do I put this back together?
It's like the old QLI Mac 11 post. I want a question, but there's no statement. We don't know what it is.
But the motherfucker has a storm grip.
Just Mac 11.
Oh, that's where that fucking joke came from. I hear that.
Mac 11.
I heard that all the time when I was playing Instructions.
Yes. Mac 11.
Mac 11
was a way of life.
Are you buying one? Selling one? Do you need help fixing one?
As
a former QLI moderator, I had to. I never deleted a Mac
11. Oh, I deleted them all the time.
But I would definitely post on them and troll.
Mac 11.
This is the definition of autistic screeching.
I don't quite understand
okay.
why it was
Take
posted.
Take it, throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
I don't have a hard line opinion of our airsoft, but if I did have an opinion, this is the physical embodiment of it. It's confusion.
It's the epitome.
It's anger.
Of mediocrity.
Jealousy and shame
it's
and
like,
mediocrity all rolled into one.
Just looking at r/airsoft now, I mean, there are a couple of decent posts. Like, just looking at this one right now.
Can you name and shame the username? CNN?
No.
The meme.
I mean, this guy who posted, like, a couple of classics, actually. I don't even know who makes these.
LibreTech.
Oh, those are hot.
Yeah.
That's fucking hot.
Are those actually classics, though? Those aren't classics.
No, I'm just... as far as, like, the guns themselves go. They might
no,
be,
I
like,
mean, like, they're EEGs, but they're not classics.
Matt, do you have a follow-up on that?
Yeah, the comments are worse.
Oh, God.
So, as we said, that, you know, it was basically there was no reason to post it. There was nothing very interesting about it whatsoever. It's just called I'm Not Sure What It Is Now, so he's not asking for help. He's just saying that he doesn't know what it is.
He's proud of it.
To be completely honest, I agree with him. I don't know what it is either.
It's an abortion.
In the comments, it's people saying, DSG it. It's not even a complete gun. Why do you care what's in it? Put wood furniture on it.
Okay, there we go.
And, that's about it. But people told him put wood furniture on it and to DSG it.
This is our airsoft in a nutshell.
Sorry,
you literally found our airsoft in a single post.
Dave's got something.
Hold on, I have one of just literally a guy standing in a window. It says, my best action shot yet.
Clearly, they haven't seen the action shot of me.
Oh, yeah, no, that's great. Just stand in a window, wait to get your face ripped
off. No, he's like kind of off on a window, but like there's nothing else in there. Nobody else is in the picture.
Cool, I remember my first airsoft game, too.
Oh, God.
I gotta find the one before that. That was pretty funny.
That's not really very action-y.
Oh. No, there's no action whatsoever.
I have pictures that are just like it. I'm not saying I'm a bummer.
Shot from last game, new to Airsoft.
I think they're the coolest.
Oh, God.
Got this beauty and a secondhand store for a hundo bucks.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
No, honestly, though, right, that's kind of like a, hey, I picked this thing up for cool, or for cheap. Is it cool?
Picked it up for cool. Is it cheap?
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, redemption for it, though, is this guy posting up pictures of his Vietnam SOG kit.
Yeah, I saw cool. that.
So the problem
that
is...
That makes it worth looking
is
at.
That
signal to noise.
Slash Reddit is the biggest...
r/Reddit?
r/Airsoft is the biggest circle jerk bandwagon subreddit because Vietnam kits, someone posted up like a legit one, and then over the course of the next 2 months... Everyone just started like, look at my shitty Vietnam kit. Look at this.
With
look
like
at that.
Woodland and Alice gear.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is like Reddit in general is bandwagoning.
Yeah, because they want those karma points because they're 14 and don't
yeah.
understand that.
You
no
see
one
the same thing
about what you do on the internet.
You see the same thing even with our hobby. You know, when we go to like r/PC Master Race,
mm-hmm.
see the same thing.
I like how this dude said the whiteout off CS:GO inspired skin. It's literally.
Oh, I saw
not
that.
Not at all.
It's just the body of it's painted white. Yeah. And it has like the cheapest scope you could find thrown on top.
We're just calling out people at this point. I mean, just going on this one, my new build M4 AEG. Essentially, it's just an M4 that came with a rail, and he put a red dot on it.
That's not a build!
I did see scrolling back through there was a G3 SAS.
I saw that.
That's what he
just
showed
saying.
Me, the $100.
and then occasionally you find something nice.
That one speaks to jungle on a whole personal
action
level.
Action shot of me throwing a grenade. You're literally just hucking it through a window while jumping. Good job, dude.
It's bunny hopping scroll.
Another redemption. A guy doing a 1990s Bundeswehr kit.
Oh.
Correct looking.
How much shit did you have to dig through to find that, though?
That was probably
a decent amount. There's a lot of questions, too.
Yeah.
Granted, it has a decent amount of uploads.
Well, and that's where, like...
I was recently killed by a samurai. Got
I saw that.
10 times as many upvotes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
Here's the best part. Reddit's search function sucks so bad that by the time this episode airs, if you try and search for any of these threads, you'll never find them.
Right. Yeah. You would just have to kind of dig past, like, all... I mean, eventually you'll find it after maybe, like, 15 minutes of scrolling, but...
And, like, that gets to the core of why r/Airsoft is so cancer, is the signal-to-noise ratio.
Yeah.
There's such little good with so much crap surrounding it.
There is some good hidden in there.
Yeah.
But most of it's just filler.
I mean, I say subscribe just because every once in a while you see something nice. Like
well,
some
and it makes you feel better about being you. So
yeah,
that's
it's
why
one of those.
Subscribe.
It's like walking past a methadone clinic. Like you just feel better about yourself.
Exactly.
And if you want to be the change.
No, you're just
there's
out, I guess.
No,
I
don't
know. No, you're
just
pissing
gonna
in an ocean
you,
of piss.
Honestly,
yeah, that, it's
yeah
still
they
fun
will.
To do that.
Oh yeah.
They will ban place. You before you enact change in r/Airsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't join the circle jerk, you're not welcome.
Hive mind, one of us. One of us.
Google gobble, Google gobble.
Yeah. You just work your way into the circle jerk and you just got one behind you and one in front of you.
Really?
Those of you who couldn't see.
Can we please end this? Like,
yeah, I think this
just,
is now.
Just end this.
Yeah, I think
after
this is...
Megalo's pantomime hand motions, I'm done.
Yeah.
Hold on. No, we got to do the plug.
No, we don't.
Plug.
We got to
do the plugs.
Just. They
just
know how to
unplug
listen.
This.
Just unplug this now.
Now, as everyone knows, you can get to us on Instagram. It's HBA Jungle. Sorry,
yes.
HBA_Jungle.
Yes.
HBA_Megalo. Has been Airsoft_podcast.
Correct.
And then I just started dicking around on Twitch. Jungle's my only viewer
no,
so
we
far.
Have, we do have one other one
yeah.
to add in. Got HBA_Demo.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Where
right.
I found, like...
Oh, yeah. I forgot you made a... Oh, yeah.
No.
I forgot I made an account.
I just made one post so far. It was when I found the... what's it called?
Oh, yeah.
Arrogant
yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah, the
yeah.
Arrogant Bastard.
Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah.
Curtains. That's right.
Roll credits.
Exactly what we're going to do to the podcast. And curtains.